Welcome to Talking Care, a caregiving journey, brought to you by St. Elizabeth and Hospice Toronto, discussing how best to care for a loved one or a friend while enriching their life and yours.
My grandmother has cancer and is going to the hospital next month for surgery. I don't know what we're going to do once she's released from the hospital. I mean, she lives on her own, and everyone in our family works full-time. I don't know how we're going to take care of her. I think she'll need someone to help her recover from the surgery, but also, like, who's going to help her to cook and help keep her house clean? What are our options?
Well, we're joined by Harry Van Bommel, who is Executive Director of Legacies and Dina Mall, Executive Director at Hospice Toronto, and welcome to you both for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Murray.
Now, Harry, you know, another story from someone who's really been dealing with something that, you know, we don't plan for these things, do we? And
No.
Is it normal to feel overwhelmed?
Absolutely. It's especially if you've never done it before. It's like anything that's new. It's quite overwhelming. But part of the idea is the more that you know, the less you have to worry. So if someone had taken me by the hand and said, you don't have to take care of your parents or your grandfather, we'll do that for you, I would have been very relieved. But then I would have missed out on an opportunity to really do good stuff. We took care of both of my parents and grandfather at home until they died. Mm-hmm. And I learned from that to be a better son, obviously, and grandson, but also a better husband, a better father, a better neighbor and friend. And there's a roller coaster ride that happens when you're taking care of someone for the first time. And it's information that helps sort of even that out. So some very practical things that people need to learn so that they have moments of true joy and happiness, as well as some of the fear and anxiety that comes with this, are they need to know some practical things. So who to contact, and we're going to talk a bit about that, for help. How do you ask people for help? And so often we say, you know, my dad's sick, can you help? And people say, oh, no, I'm too busy, I work full time, those kinds of things. So if you say, you know, my dad's sick, can you help mow the lawn once every 2 weeks? Or can you help buy some groceries when you're at the grocery store? Or can you bring over a casserole every month? That kind of stuff is very practical. It's short term, and people will say yes to that kind of question.
The little things, you don't have to lay everything on them, but if they can just pick up the slack in one little, whatever it may be, as you mentioned, maybe cutting the grass.
Yes, exactly.
It all adds up to making it a much more functional situation,
I suppose.
Dina, what tools and programs might be helpful for someone in a caregiving role and when they're feeling overwhelmed?
Well, Murray, I think, as Harry said, it is normal to be overwhelmed. And the good news is that the government and organizations are starting to realize that caregivers are important, too. They provide the majority of care when someone is ill. Mm-hmm. And if they aren't well supported, they'll become users of the healthcare system themselves. So in addition to this, a lot of wonderful work has recently been done, inviting caregivers to speak about what they feel their needs are. And the Change Foundation recently published a great report called Loud and Clear that's identified some of these. First and foremost, caregivers tell us they want education and information, and that when they have that, they feel empowered, they feel confident, and they feel able to support a loved one. So there are programs and services in communities, and it's important, again, to remember that what is needed is different for each person.
It is,
so,
exactly.
That's, you know, find out what's in your community. There's it varies from community to community. And also, it's important to be a consumer and know what you need and then look for that. There are respite programs, support groups, and, you know, I thought about naming them all, and I realized nobody is going to remember it if I spell them out on the air. So I do invite people to visit our website, www.hospicetorontotalkingcare.ca, where we have a list of resources that people can download or take a look at. And they can also call the Ontario Community Support Association, or they can call Ask Elizabeth, and Murray, you'll give that number out at the end of the program.
You know, touching on what we were talking about, and sometimes people think, well, they got to have that stiff upper lip approach, can't show weakness, can't say, you know, I'm having a difficult time, and we're all human. And frankly, if you're in a better state of mind, if you have the access to these assistance, you know, groups and what's available out there, Harry, you're going to be a better caregiver. It's going to be better for that individual you're helping because you're in a better place. Now, Caregivers most often, they feel alone and isolated sometimes. I've sometimes heard of a team approach which would help that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
What would that look like?
Well, if you were ever in school and you were studying for something difficult, you might have been part of what's called a study group, or mm-hmm. you're part of a sports team or a student political group or something. And those all have sort of that team approach. And in a care situation, it would be someone taking the lead who's not the primary caregiver. So if I'm taking care of a parent, it would be someone that I know who would ask a number of other people, including neighbors, especially neighbors because they're in walking distance, but other family and friends to join and take a piece of the caregiving so that I, as the primary caregiver, can concentrate solely on the person that I love and am taking care of. So someone might come and help with the finances. Someone might come and help answer letters or phone calls or emails. Someone, as I mentioned earlier, might do the mowing the lawn, walk the dog kinds of things. Someone might just come and sit and read with a person for a while because people find that enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Others will bring a case of beer and watch TV, hockey, during the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so everyone is comfortable doing something different.
Doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes they just want to return to some degree of normalcy.
Absolutely. The more normal the life, the idea of helping people through a recovery or through the end of their life is to make sure that they live as fully as possible. Mm-hmm. Not that they're dying or that they're sick, but that they're getting better or that they live fully until they die. And by having a team approach, that allows someone like me, the primary caregiver, to go out for an ice cream and just relax, to go out and talk to some friends over lunch, to go for a walk on the beach, just to get a little bit of time away and just
recharge, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and be a better caregiver that way
yes.
as well.
Yeah, and play some hurtin' tunes on the guitar is often very good.
Now you're talking. You know, we tend to talk about, you know, some of the difficult issues of being a caregiver, and it's very enriching. You know, there's times where you want to, you know, and there's other times where you can just sit and laugh with,
yes.
with it and forget, and, which is one of the healthiest things we can do is laugh. Mm. Adina, you must have some wonderful stories of successful and enriching caregiving experiences, even when challenges existed. Could you share one?
You know, I can, Murray. There are so many of these, and as challenging as caregiving can be, it's also rewarding. And as Harry says, it's a rare and important opportunity to invite family and friends to help. As Harry was talking, I was thinking, you know, everybody does take a different role.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first came to hospice, and, you know, I thought about hospice volunteers and sitting by the bedside, and I thought, gee, there's many things I can do, but sitting by the bedside, I'm kind of shy. It might not be for me. But put a J-cloth in my hand, I'm there. I'm cleaning your bathroom. I'm in your kitchen. I'm happy to support. And I think that the same thing can be said of friends and family. If they're given something that is practical in the form of respite or even practical mm-hmm. care, and it speaks to them, they're happy to step up and help. At Hospice Toronto, we partner with healthcare organizations, and we do work in a shared care model. So we have personal support workers, physicians, nurses, doctors, and hospice volunteers. One story that comes to mind, though, was a woman who had been in a wheelchair her whole life, and her mother took care of her for most of her life. She moved into an apartment as she got older, and then her mother got ill and was in a wheelchair herself with ALS. And this young woman had brothers and sisters, but wanted to be the person to provide the care. And so her family and her friends rallied round. They all took on different tasks. And even in a small apartment, she was able to give that gift to her mother, and in the end to herself, because she was able to, after her mother died, be left with the feeling that she had been there for her mother in the way that her mother had been there for her. And she wouldn't have been able to do that, especially in such a tiny place, without the help of family and friends who came in and gave her respite, mm-hmm. education that she was provided through programs and services. And so, you know, again, as Harry said, sometimes it seems like asking family and friends is an imposition. But more often, we hear that people feel privileged to have been there. And the phrase we hear the most is, I got so much more than I gave.
It's almost self. We do, don't we? We get back from, you know, it's a karma thing, isn't it? You know, it just goes
Give
around,
to get.
And we don't. Sometimes we think we have to do too much. Sometimes just be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a few words, have a few laughs. You know,
mm-hmm.
Harry, we only have a minute or so left, mm-hmm. and I know we can't justify what your story is going to be within that time. But Harry, if you can, what was your most valuable lesson in taking care of your parents and grandfather?
I found out that relationships really are more important than anything else. They're more important than a job, acquiring stuff, even good health. People often say, if you have good health, you have everything. Actually, that's not true. I've met many people and helped others who, with disabilities or long-term care conditions, as well as my parents and grandfather. And it's the people around them. It's not where you are. It's who's around with you. Mm-hmm. And part of what Dina and Hospice Toronto do so well is they help people who have those relationships and figure out how to work together so that at the end of the process, whether the person recovers or not, people feel proud of what they've accomplished and they feel they've done their best, and they hope that they'll have the same kind of supports when they go. So relationships are always more important. Nurturing relationships takes a lot of time, and we spend more time being nice to to strangers and people at work than we do to our families and friends. And so I would like to see that reversed, because that's what I learned from them.
True words about family and friends. I guess, is it maybe the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt?
Mm-hmm.
Dina Mall of Hospice Toronto, thank you so much for joining us. Harry Van Bommel, Executive Director of Legacies, it's been a pleasure chatting with you both this
thank
morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Murray.
Talking Care, a caregiving journey, brought to you by Hospice Toronto and St. Elizabeth. For more information on today's discussion, call 1-877-787-7342. That's 1-877-787-7342. To listen to this episode again, suggest topics for future episodes, or browse helpful resources, visit www.stelizabeth.com/talkingcare. That web address again, www.stelizabeth.com/talkingcare.
Home is comfort and warmth. Home is family and memories. Home is where you want to be. We're St. Elizabeth, pioneers in home and community care. For over 100 years, we've helped people stay in their homes. We can help you or someone you care about. St. Elizabeth, nursing, therapies, and personal support provided in your home. Visit stelizabeth.com to order your copy of our Caregiver Compass, a valuable resource on caring for those you love.